You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time for our weekly check-in with Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon. And John, we've got good news and perhaps some worrisome news for the Lions. That nice 20-17 win over the Bears was their fifth straight win and another come-from-behind win. Who or what do you think is working best for Detroit?
Well, I'm going to repeat myself here, but you have to start with Matt Stafford, about whom I've been notably unimpressed for 7 years. Basically, a lot of hype and no delivery for 7 years. First-round draft pick was not very tough mentally or physically, frankly. And this year, he's been incredibly tough mentally and physically and on point. He has been phenomenal. He might be an MVP candidate now, which I cannot believe I'm telling you.
And you were also, a few weeks ago, you really went out of your way to praise General Manager Bob Quinn, doing good things.
And you've probably not heard of his name. You're probably not going to. He's behind the scenes. He's very quiet about it. But when you have 55 players to play around with, 54 players in the NFL, you got to do a lot of moves back and forth. It's half as many players as a college team has. So guys get injured. You're always shuffling. He's doing it very quietly. He's making a lot of great decisions. One of them, surprisingly, Calvin Johnson leaving the team, the best wide receiver arguably in the NFL, certainly one of them.
Yeah.
And Stafford has been so much better without him.
Isn't that interesting?
Amazing.
The house of cards did not collapse. It's interesting to note this was Stafford's eighth fourth quarter comeback this season, so it is the most now in a single season, I think, since 1950. Why so much come from behind?
One thing is the way the NFL is set up, which we've talked about. The games are designed to boil down to three or four plays. The NFL wants all the games to be close, so you keep watching. So the games come down to three or four plays. So that's part of the deal. Second thing is their defense started out being pretty mediocre. Now it's gotten fairly decent, actually. I can't believe I'm saying that either, Cynthia. But the third thing is, I mean, this team wakes up apparently in the second half. And it's kind of like procrastinating on a term paper. Once you know you can do it, you keep on procrastinating more and more and more. This has been my experience as a writer. Yeah. I can tell you that. This team procrastinates. They know that in the fourth quarter they got the guy. And Stafford is playing with as much confidence, skill, and toughness as I've seen any Lions quarterback play with ever.
And speaking of being tough, he was wearing that white glove for much of the game, not in tribute to Michael Jackson, as we should note, but he's got a dislocated finger and torn ligaments in his right hand, his throwing hand. But it happened in the first quarter, and he stayed put.
I've not done that to myself. I've seen friends of mine playing hockey have that done to them. It is incredibly painful, by all accounts.
Okay.
Any one of us would be driving to the ER right away. This guy finished the game, and he's going to play next week too, it sounds like. So
that's what I wondered. How worried should fans be as they think of that throwing hand being impaired?
Here's the good news. They're 9-4 right now. They're almost in the playoffs right now as it is, and that being the case, they can probably give the guy 2 or 3 weeks off at the end to heal. But it is serious.
Well, when you think about 3 more games to go at the Giants, at the Cowboys, and hosting the Packers, so the Lions have the toughest remaining schedule. What do you think their chances are? Can we feel like it's going to happen?
They need one more win, frankly. Mm-hmm. That's about it. Now, the Cowboys is the real test because that's your main competition in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. If you can't beat them, you're not going to get there.
But they lost to the Giants yesterday.
They did lose to the Giants yesterday. And they're playing the Giants next, by the
way.
Right. So that's the good news and bad news. This is the big boy finish to the schedule. You're going to find out where they stand. And the Packers are fighting for their lives, of course, so if they have a life left. So it's interesting. By the way, this is December. We are still talking about the Lions, not about rebuilding or how do you re-scrap it. What do you do next year? They're actually in the hunt.
So we should all enjoy this as it's happening.
Don't take it for granted, people.
Okay, let's go over to college football. I want to start with Eastern. Here they are, off to getting ready to play Old Dominion in the Bahamas Bowl December 23rd, only their second bowl game ever. And, boy, talk about the team that only won one game last season, so never say die.
You have to say Jim Creighton, the coach of EMU, has been all that one of the best, in my opinion, out there. They're 6-6, but, man, they were 1-whatever last year. Sadly, now, here's where I become Debbie Downer.
Okay.
That I said earlier, of course, on your show on NPR, that, look, they've got no fans. They've got no wins. They're spending too much money on this program. Now you are winning. You still don't have very many fans, and you still are spending a ton of money. So this, I hate to say it, might be the acid test for why you get rid of football at Eastern Michigan. Even winning does not solve the problem.
All right. We'll watch for that. But they certainly did flip things around.
They did, and hats off to Creighton. That's one of the best coaching jobs I've seen.
And speaking of great coaching jobs, Western's P.J. Fleck getting all kinds of national attention for taking the Broncos through this 13-0 season, winning the MAC championship, onto the Cotton Bowl. And we've talked about the fact you don't think he's along for Kalamazoo, but it does seem the D1 openings kind of, they're being filled and not by him.
That's exactly right. And conventional wisdom often fails. It's failing in this case, and yeah. I'm part of that failure. I thought for sure he'd be going somewhere, Texas, a school like this, Oregon, the big boy programs. I've said that twice today. I don't know why.
Is it that could they be watching and going, well, let's see what you do next year. Let's see if this is something that
continues? No, I think they, in Oregon's case, in Texas's case, they've already got their guy lined up. And so that's what happened there. Nonetheless, I think Fleck has not put himself out there that much and saying, I'm available. And for him to stick around Western, I have to tell you, it's a fairly sizable career risk because you're not going 13-0 next year, not with all these seniors leaving. If they're, 7-5, was it a fluke? And now can you leave at all if you want to leave? So he is investing heavily, I think, in Western as they are in him.
Hat tip to the Chip. Central Michigan goes to the Miami Beach Bowl against Tulsa December 19th. Of course, we know Michigan faces Florida State in the Orange Bowl on December 30th, although no college football championship action for the Wolverines. But you stop and you think this would have been the first time in history that Michigan, MSU, CMU, Western, and Central would have qualified for bowl games, but there's Sparty sitting on the sidelines.
If you had to bet which team out of that batch would not have made it, State would have been probably the least likely. They were 36-5 the last 3 years, one of the two or three best teams in college football, and now they're not even close.
Well, I think we can all bet that Coach D'Antonio is hard at work making sure that doesn't happen next year.
He is not spending his time making s'mores.
Michigan Radio's sports commentator, John Eubagen. As always, thanks, John.
Thank you.